Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, reading verse 38. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Heavenly Father, once again I ask for your help. Once again I look to you. I need your power. I need your strength. I need your help. Lord, please speak to the people. Please enlighten the eyes of their understanding, as Paul prayed. And Lord, we're careful to give you the glory, the praise, and all the honor. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, amen. We began last week reading this verse. Actually, we started in verse 37 through 39. And we also took a look at verse 42. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and of prayers." And though there's a segment of Pentecostalism that take these short passages out of context and will say that there is one God, but He's only one person. In other words, they deny the Trinity. And they say that that one person is Jesus Christ, who pretends to be at times the Father and pretends to be at times the Holy Spirit. Oneness, Jesus only, modalism, what have you. And I'm not preaching just to refute a false doctrine. But this message we started last week, hopefully we'll finish this week, is probably the last in a series, at least for a while, where I've been preaching on Pentecost. And we find in this chapter the great outpouring of the Spirit that happened on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. And we've studied that in another program. The outpouring of the Spirit, the cloven tongues as of fire, the rushing mighty wind, and the disciples supernaturally empowered to speak and testify and prophesy in languages that they had not learned. And it says, starting in verse 6, "Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language," the language that they were born in, the language that they grew up learning in all the different places that are listed in verse 9 through 11. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, etc. But in verse 8, "And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" This great miracle, the outpouring of the Spirit, with the magnificent sign of speaking in other tongues. But it says in verse 11, Cretes and Arabians, which is the tail end of that list of different peoples, "We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine." But Peter, in verse 14, standing up with the 11, he lifted up his voice and began to preach. He addressed them, men of Judea, those that dwell at Jerusalem, and everyone else. And he says, "These are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, or 9 o'clock in the morning." But then he begins to preach from the Old Testament, starting off with the book of Joel. But this, the outpouring of the Spirit, the rushing mighty wind, the cloven tongues as of fire, and the miracle of speaking in other tongues. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And I won't go over Joel again. I preached on it a little bit last time, and a few weeks ago I went through the entire book. But then Peter, in verse 22, cuts to the heart of the matter. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." But then he begins to preach about the death of Christ. Verse 23, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." But it says, "Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Our Lord Jesus Christ, nailed to a cross for the sins of the world. His sacrifice on that cross and the blood that he shed answered the righteous demands of God the Father. Our sins are washed away because Jesus Christ died for our sins. He died in our place. God looks at his righteous death and counts it by faith as righteousness on our behalf, that we can be justified by faith, not by good works, not by church attendance, or baptism, or singing in the choir, or feeding the hungry, or anything like that. But we're justified by faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. And you've heard me preach that again and again and again. And as long as you care to listen, as long as I'm on the radio or preaching in some pulpit somewhere, I'm going to preach the same message, the message of justification by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the precious blood that he shed on Calvary. But Peter answered the Jews and their question, "What meaneth this?" He preached from Joel and talked about the impending judgment of all mankind. and he referenced the Great Tribulation, which I believe is soon to come. Then he talked about Jesus and the plan of God that he would die for the sins of the world and be raised again for our justification. But then in verse 25, he talks about David and goes through a few prophecies that David made, King David, the sweet singer and psalmist of Israel. You can read through the Psalms. Many of the Psalms are messianic in nature. In other words, they prophesy of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. It's often said that you can read the New Testament, the Gospels in particular, and see what Jesus Christ did while he was on the earth. But you can look in the Psalms and read what Jesus thought when he was on the earth. But as I said, many of the Psalms prophesy of Christ. They foretell Christ. Now it says in verse 40, "And with many other words he did testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation." I know that what we have here, we have a part of his sermon, but not all of it. It says, with many other words, he did exhort and testify. He referenced Joel, we know that. He referenced David, we know that. I would imagine that he mentioned Moses. He might have mentioned Elijah. He might have talked about Micah, any one of the Old Testament prophets. I don't know, it's not recorded. But the fact is that he preached Christ from the Old Testament. Today we have the New Testament. I'm glad that we do. But it's sometimes asked in the New Testament or of the New Testament, where did all these things come from? For instance, Paul. He gave us a lot of our Christian theology. But where did Paul get his theology? We know that he studied under Gamaliel. He was one of the foremost rabbis and scholars of the law in his day. But Paul gave us our New Testament doctrine. But you see, his doctrine came from the Old Testament. And we see here in Peter's sermon, answering the question, what's this all about, that the Jews asked. Peter goes to Joel, he goes to David, and perhaps, or probably, other Old Testament writers, or prophets, etc. If you want to know about the Lord Jesus Christ, by all means, read Matthew. By all means, read the book of Galatians. By all means, study the New Testament. But the New Testament is based on and founded upon the Old Testament. And if you've listened to me, you know that's where most of my preaching comes from, the Old Testament. But just like Peter, I preach Christ from the Old Testament. I'm reminded of Jesus on the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24. There were two disciples that were walking, I guess it was 4 or 5 miles, to Emmaus, some little town outside Jerusalem. Perhaps near Bethlehem, I'm not exactly sure where it is. But they were walking from one town to another. And it says that Jesus drew near and began to walk with them. This was after he had risen from the dead. And he walks up, begins to walk with them, and says, "Why are you sad? What's going on? Tell me about it." And they said, "Well, you know, our Lord, we thought he was the one, the Messiah, but he's been crucified." And they didn't understand. But he takes his time from the Psalms, from Moses, etc. Jesus takes his time teaching them from the Old Testament about himself. And it says that they didn't understand, but later on, at the end of the story, and again you can read this in the book of Luke, their eyes and their understanding were opened, and they finally understood the message and explanation and teaching that he gave them. So it's important that we understand the Old Testament, for in its pages we find the Lord Jesus Christ. Another great prophet, John the Baptist, he's the one that said that Christ is coming. And we know that Jesus did come, asking to be baptized of John. And on that day, he pointed his finger and raised his voice and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." You see, all the Old Testament laid the foundation for Christ, prophesied of Christ, and closes out begging for Christ to come. And finally, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, appears. And John announces him, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And again in this chapter, Acts chapter 2, the Jews are asking, "What meaneth this? What's this all about?" Remember when Jesus was 12 years old, I guess it was for his bar mitzvah. He stayed behind when Mary and Joseph left to go back home. And after a few days, they realized he wasn't in the caravan. And they went back to find him, and they found him in the temple of all places, teaching from the Old Testament about the Messiah. But in verse 36 of this chapter, Peter says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Peter wraps up his sermon pointing to Christ, giving an invitation, really, an altar call. "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, the one I've preached about, the one you know that 50 days ago was crucified, the one that for 3.5 years you've heard about, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils, preaching the Sermon on the Mount, etc. This same Jesus, whom you have crucified." Again, he references the instrument of his death and of our salvation. "Both Lord and Christ," or Lord and Messiah. You see, after Peter's sermon, the Jews understood, "What meaneth this?" And in verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, What shall we do? A second question. Then in verse 38, Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's his great altar call. He preached about Jesus Christ from the Old Testament. And they were pricked in their heart, convinced by the Holy Ghost, that what Peter said was true, that Christ, our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is the Jewish Messiah. He's the one that they had been looking for 4,000 years. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 41, Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. One sermon on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 Jews gave their heart and life to Jesus Christ. And it says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Paul said that we Christians are Christ's ambassadors, and we beseech you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God. The apostles had the responsibility of doing what Peter did, which is preaching the gospel. And today we have that same responsibility to do our part to fulfill the Great Commission. You see, Jesus had come to this earth to give his life a ransom for many. But we find in Acts chapter 1 that Jesus ascended into heaven, and one day he's coming back, and I believe very soon, in a cloud from heaven. You can read about it in Revelation chapter 19. After the marriage supper of the Lamb, Christ and all of us in heaven get on white horses and come back to this earth. And at that point, Christ will set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. And in fact, his kingdom will never pass away. But for now, until that day, we have the responsibility of preaching his word, and as I said, carrying out the Great Commission. And we see here, right at the birth of the church, 3,000 of those Jews that heard Peter's sermon repented. I'm sure very shortly after this, they did what Peter said. They were baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ. And they, as new Christians, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all the healing stream. Flow.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.